Well, sometimes we find ourselves questioning our own humanity. What if the problem isn't with people out there, but with me, in here? For Peter Schultz, a criminal conviction and a prison sentence prompted some serious soul-searching and eventually opened the way to a new ministry bringing restoration to prisoners and their communities. Peter spoke to reporter and producer Mariam Shahab.
Peter, you minister to prisoners in Fiji and have done so for more than 10 years now. But it's a far cry to where you were in 1999, where you spent 2 years in prison yourself here in Australia. Can you paint us a picture of how you came to be behind bars?
Yes, it's a picture of being self-absorbed with my own success, my own cleverness, and a healthy dose of the love of money. Then it began with a whole lot of small compromises, leading to larger compromises that led me to a point where keeping my identity of success was more important than character. So then I began to steal money from my clients, which were people who'd put their trust in me.
And what do you remember from that time in prison? Do you have any memories from your first night, for example? Was that really significant?
Yeah, the first night was Sydney police cells. I think from recollection there was something like 38 of us in the one room, some mattresses, a few blankets. It was a fairly intense night.
So what sort of impact did prison have on your faith?
To begin with, it absolutely, going to prison shocked me. And it really was a picture where before that, faith had become, between my confession in 97 to my sentence in 99, very much a personal journey. And then as I then entered into those prison gates, it really was a shock. It was somewhat like, as I would characterise it, descending into hell and really trying to find where Christ was in this picture. And it wasn't that the journey to prison wasn't without reason. I mean, it wasn't without valid consequence. It was, how does one sustain faith behind prison walls? So really, my faith began to take what I would call a wider perspective, and a place where I had to then see faith in a whole new context, and the connection or the disconnection of faith in the face of incredible need, probably characterised by the understanding that most of the men that I was engaging with at that time in prison had a hostility towards the church, but a curiosity towards Christ.
So did you have faith before you went into prison to begin with?
I did. I did, is what I would call a head knowledge of faith. It was a faith of a ritual or faith of a practice. It wasn't faith that had really formed who I was, other than an understanding that there was a God and that there was a certain demand of faith. But in terms of its impact upon character, upon decision-making, in terms of life and lifestyle, it really didn't connect.
So then when you were in prison, did that kind of impact on your idea of God and yourself in relation to God?
It did, because I had to come face to face with the whole concept of suffering. Prison is a place where human suffering is all coalesced into the confines of the four walls. And growing up as in the way that I'd grown up, which was, you know, reasonably middle class, the whole concept of suffering was incredibly remote. And so to live in the midst of the suffering, becoming aware of the suffering that I'd caused others, but then living also within the face of that suffering, it really did. It stretched my faith into new understandings, into new places.
So a couple of years after you left jail, you went to Fiji and you started prison ministry there, and you established your organisation called Operation Foundation. Can you tell me why you did that and what sort of work your organisation does?
The easiest way of explaining it is it was a deep mystical experience of God saying, this is where I'm sending you and this is what I'm doing. And reluctantly, very reluctantly, I went, waiting to exit as soon as I could, because the whole idea of going back into prison in any context, whether it was a serving role or anything to do with the prison, was completely a no-go area in my own mind and heart. And so I went and began working in one particular prison that the Fiji Correction Service had said, yep, go and start your work there. And discovered really over the last 10 years it's evolved, what we've undertaken has evolved into a place where we now work in 11 of the 15 prisons. We don't engage in chaplaincy, we engage in rehab, but we do it from a faith perspective, and so our work has a Christian bias to it, although we work again with men across all of those faith paradigms that are within Fiji, which is, you know, obviously Christian, Hindu and Muslim. But we work in terms of, you know, the actual work, we are working with women lifers, you know, the women on our team are working with women lifers. We're implementing a whole sex offender treatment process. So it's fairly diverse, but the whole concept is to bring a rehabilitation process into the life of the men and the women that we work with. You know, one of the biggest concepts is to take people and bring them into what I would call a circle of compassion, and so that we all exist within that circle. No one is put out of that. But we live in societies where often prisoners become the scapegoats. They become the people that are not acceptable. And so bringing them into a circle of compassion is absolutely critical to their ability to grow, their ability to heal themselves, so that ultimately upon their release they no longer damage themselves or damage anyone else.
And so how do the prisoners, I guess, react to the Christian element of the work that you do?
Well, within Fiji, spirituality is a high-value item. So it doesn't matter from what faith paradigm you come from, everyone believes in God or gods. And so immediately, in our context, we can have Christian content, but because of its spirituality, it is valued by those of other faiths.
And so, Peter, what impact has the rehab work had on these prisoners from your observations?
The core value that we bring to it is the concept of relationship. Sin at its core value will disrupt and destroy the relationships we are in, whether it's a vertical relationship with God or a horizontal relationship to our neighbour. And so the core value of relationship becomes critical to us. And so what we do is we enter into the relationship with the men and women that we are working with. So we, even though we're trying to obviously do it in larger numbers in a program-centred process, the underlying premise is that we are building a relationship to model and to influence the outcomes that we want. So we see everything from men standing up in a class, having denied a crime for years, saying, I actually did this, I am guilty, and coming to a point of brokenness, because it's in that brokenness that they find the beginning of a whole new path.
Do you incorporate Fijian culture into the rehab process?
Yeah, we do. That's been probably our slowest learning. But it's also been one of our richest spaces. We've developed a thing called the Vivakabalai approach, which is a Fijian word for the English word to redeem. So Vivakabalai is an integration of rehab, which would be your normal psychological treatment processes, spiritual formation and culture, because of the fact that culture plays such a rich place both in the formation of who we are but the establishment of who we are. An example of it is that within the Fijian culture there are formal reconciliation processes, which are, you know, the word sevu sevu is really sort of part of that grouping of reconciliation process journeys. And so I think it was in 2006, began to take men home and began to enact this sevu sevu process where men would sit in front of their family or their fathers and ask for forgiveness in a formalised process, and then the offence would be forgiven, but the offence would be set aside so that there was now community acceptance, there was now family acceptance, and so that the identity of this man would return to his people.
Peter, you say on your website that a quick glance through history reveals that some of the world's greatest human treasures have been refined by the crucible of prison. What did you mean by that?
I'm being provocative in that process, but not unduly. John Bunyan, for example, wrote Pilgrim's Progress out of the cell of a prison. Nelson Mandela comes to mind, Gandhi comes to mind, but realistically, the comment is really formed to the men and the women who have gone through prison, have come out, who have used the process and used whatever tools they've had to return to life, to return to community, and are living back within community, making their own contributions into the life of their family, into the life of the people that are around them. These really are the national treasures, those that have fallen through the gaps, fallen through the cracks, but have actually stepped back in. You know, mostly they are unseen, they're unrecognised, but they're very deeply able to say, I was, I am now. And so in that contrast, you know, they really do become treasures for who we are as a whole.
Well, I guess you could say that the crucible of prison really changed you, Peter. Is your current work a sort of atonement of your past sins or of the crimes that you had committed?
That's a great question. All these years later, I still occasionally pull that one out and ask that question of myself. I can say really clearly I had no aspiration for this work, but I found a absolute richness within it. I approached it with a huge amount of fear and reluctance, but I actually now, you know, it's probably my most contented space. You know, being with my fellow prisoners as a former prisoner has actually got a real peace to it in the midst of everything else that we are, you know, seeking to do.
You described prison as hell when you went in 1999. Mm-hmm. Has that changed?
Yes, it has. It has. I know that my context is very different. What we have in Fiji is a regard for the prison process that I don't necessarily see replicated within a Western context. But it's a place where there can be change. It's a place where the war doesn't need to exist. It's a place that doesn't need to be a hell. And I would suggest that we are moving towards that within the context that we are working in.
Well, Peter, is there a biblical story or passage that inspires you in the work that you do?
Yeah, there is. There's probably two that come to mind. The first one, it came to me within days of arriving within prison myself. And that's Luke 4:17-19, where Jesus stands in the synagogue and speaks to a people that have faith and says, hey, this is the prophetic purpose, and this is now fulfilled in your hearing. And it's about good news and freedom and sight and oppression being released and the year of the Lord's favour. They are incredible words, and they're words that we seek to see come to life in the work that we do. The other one is really around the picture of mercy, and I look at the story of the prodigal son, and I see God's mercy in action in the receiving back of this son. And I see the reaction of the older brother, who is demanding justice and demanding a response of the father out of a place of justice. But in our deepest realities, we find that justice actually doesn't bring a true satisfaction. God's justice is actually always satisfied within the framework of mercy.
Peter Schultz, who was on the receiving end of both justice and mercy when he did time in prison. Peter now runs Operation Foundation, a Christian group bringing renewal and transformation to prisoners and their communities in Fiji, sharing his story there with Mariam Shahab.